He is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter, everyone. Welcome to New Life again, and so glad you're here. Man. Oh, and happy April Fool's Day. It doesn't happen very often, actually. April Fool's on the same day as Easter, so I figure we ought to take advantage of that. And last time it happened was sometime in the 1950s. Next time it's going to happen will be in 2029, and then 2040, and then not until the next century. So it doesn't happen very often. April Fools. Started already, there's mention of it back in the 1500s. Some guy was talking about playing pranks on his servants and so on. In England, in April 1st of 1857, there was a flyer that was published that said, "Come to the London Towers on April the 1st to see the lions washed," which, of course, was no such event. And so that's when April Fools started. There's been some pretty spectacular April Fools pranks played since then. 1957. The BBC Broadcasting Corporation, they announced in their newscast, you may have heard this before, they announced that the Swiss were having a fantastic harvest of spaghetti off of their spaghetti trees. And the amazing thing was all kinds of people phoned into the BBC to say, "Where could I get one of those plants?" Just when color TVs started coming out in 1962. Everybody wanted a color TV. We didn't even have a TV. I wasn't even born yet, actually. But I remember really wanting to have a color TV. And the Swedish Broadcasting Corporation, they announced, complete with a technician, full explanation, that if you wanted an instant color TV, all you had to do is put a nylon stocking over top of your TV. That's when TVs were like just, you know, this big. And you just put a nylon stocking and you see that the light would refract just so that it would make your color or your TV tube color. In 1962, thousands of people tried that. This is my favorite one. 1988, Burger King. They came up with a full-page ad in the newspaper. They announced that they were now making left-handed hamburgers. Left-handed hamburgers simply by rotating the condiments 180 degrees. As a result, a whole lot of people went to Burger King to specifically order the left-handed hamburger. And the rest of the people were worried that they would get the wrong kind of burger. And then just to bring it all back to Canada, in 2008, CBC Radio interviewed a Royal Canadian Mint spokesperson who broke the news that the $5 bill would be eliminated. And they would introduce a $3 coin called the Threeny. Yeah, just to complete the lineup of loonies, toonies, and threenies. So, pranks, jokes, they've gone on for many years. And, well, you know, it's fun to do. They add delight to an otherwise dreary existence, perhaps. But they also show something else that we all wish that maybe things could be different. That just maybe things aren't the way that they should be. Somebody thought that things weren't quite the way things should be here this morning as well, and they had all these chairs turned the other way. Be thankful that somebody turned them front ways. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah. somehow we think that maybe things aren't quite the way they should be. I mean, there should be a spaghetti tree, don't you think? All right. Well, some folks, they were quite impressed. They had been, for some time already now, following Jesus, listening to him, hearing reports of amazing things he'd done, and hearing of all the great things that he had said and taught. And this guy taught with authority. They were impressed with him. And so these Greek people, they came to a couple of disciples. They said, we want to meet this Jesus. Maybe we even want to follow him. We're kind of hedging our bets, they said. They were checking out Jesus' claims to be the Savior of the world. And so Jesus, so to speak, plays what is going to be our first prank in this message. Jesus plays a bit of a prank. In John chapter 12, we read this. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." If it dies, it produces many seeds. What Jesus is trying to do here, he's trying to convince the disciples that he needs to be a seed, not this great, powerful, impressive historical figure that could be the superhero of all time, but that he needs to simply be a seed in order to have any influence at all in this world. That's prank number one. To be a seed. Seeds are small. Seeds are insignificant. Seeds, you can't see any real power in a seed. Seeds are unassuming. They get buried. They shrivel up. And then they're forgotten. We can imagine the disciples reacting to this prank. Uh-oh, yeah. I wish we knew what you meant, Jesus, to be a seed, whatever, but pretty sure you're the one. You're going to be famous. You're going to be a hero. You're going to be all-powerful, but yeah, funny one. Ha-ha. Obviously, we missed the point. Good prank. But a seed produces life. Life. And if the disciples had got the joke at all, they would have entirely understood Jesus' ministry. Jesus was all about giving life into this world. Jesus was all about establishing God's kingdom, but in a way that turned everything upside down so that even the superhero of all time had simply to become a seed. Or in other words, strength was to be shown in weakness. Power was to be shown in mercy. Authority was to be shown in righteousness. Might was to be shown in love. Greatness was shown in service. Freedom was shown in obedience. And wisdom was shown in foolishness. Ha ha, the joke's on you. Because you didn't think that life could work that way, but Jesus' life did. Thanks be to God. Prank number two follows immediately on this thing about seeds. The next thing that Jesus says is about following him in that kind of upside down life. In John chapter 12 again, continuing on. As soon as I find my place. Anyone who loves their life, Jesus says, will lose it.
While anyone who hates their life in this world, or as defined by this world, life that the world defines, anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And now, Jesus said, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Oh no, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. You see, prank number two is this. If you really want to live, go ahead and lose your life. See, some pranks are risky. Some pranks are even downright dangerous. And you shouldn't even try them. And it almost seems like this is one of them. He who loses his life for my sake will gain it. But if it doesn't work, if it's not true, you lose everything. Well-known preacher Haddon Robinson, he was a preaching professor at Gordon Conwell Seminary in Boston. He was leading a tour out in Turkey, a tour of the seven churches of the Book of Revelation. And as he was leading this tour, he got to know their driver, and the driver was a Muslim man. And Haddon Robinson began speaking with this man quite in depth about Christianity, and this Muslim kept asking him penetrating questions about Christianity to the point where Dr. Robinson thought, man, I just wouldn't be a good Christian if I mean, this guy's asking so many questions about Jesus. I need to invite him to accept Jesus as his Savior. And so he does. Asks him if he wants to put his trust in Jesus. And here's what the Muslim said. You don't know what you are asking me. Do you know what would happen if I did that? If I announced it to anybody, my wife would leave me. My family would disown me. My boss would fire me. I may want to leave to go back to the United States, and the government wouldn't give me an exit visa. I'd give up everything. You go back tomorrow. I wouldn't expect you would support me, and I would starve to death in my own culture. If you lose your life for my sake, Jesus said, you would gain it. But it better be true. Some parents came to a preacher one time and said, preacher, you need to talk to our daughter. Oh, I'd love to talk with your daughter. Why? Well, she says she wants to be a missionary. Oh, that's great, says the pastor. Oh, no, you don't understand, said the parents. We can't let her ruin her life. When Jesus says you'll lose life when you love it too much, he's talking about life as defined by the world's standards. He's talking about how holding so tightly on to that seed of life, not letting it get buried, never letting it bear fruit. We can hold on to life too tightly. We want it all under our control. We want it all our way. When Jesus suggests hating life in this world, he's talking about life as the world defines it. If all you can see for your life is your own satisfaction, your own comfort, then your life is too small. If all you can imagine for your life is possessing things, Well, there's not going to be any kind of reward for that. If your only concern is for yourself, for your own comfort, for your own safety, for your own well-being, your life is entirely too isolated, and you'll never really live. If all you think you have to hold on to is simply yourself, your own being, your own meager happiness will be the only thing that matters. And then losing your life to gain it might be a very dangerous prank. Even Jesus had second thoughts about his own advice. We read him saying, "Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me for this hour." Jesus was tempted. But he goes through with it. The suffering, the scorn, the mocking, the crucifixion, the dying. He goes through with it because he knows freedom is found in obedience. He goes through with it because he trusts that the Father will glorify his name. And so he submits to the cross and to death. And we, with the disciples, wait with bated breath. And then comes the greatest April Fool's prank ever. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. And then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Jesus' resurrection, it's the best April Fool's joke ever. Miles Towns writes, "What more could Jesus have done to mock a world that killed him than to rise from the dead?" Ta-da! Resurrection is a joke, not because it's fake, but because it causes us to laugh in the face of death itself. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the resurrection is serious business. It changes everything. And yet the good news is such a relief. It's like a great joke for which we burst into laughter. In the midst of all of the chaos, in the midst of all of the violence of the world, in the midst of all of the confusion, in the midst of all of the melancholy of the world, in the midst of all of the depression, in the midst of all of the hatred of the world, everything turns out right because the seed has been buried and it has raised up fruit, and the kingdom of God has come because Jesus arose. And so we've got to stop living so safely, hanging on so desperately to what we already have. Simply not the gospel way. Jesus never defines the good life by safety or comfort or everything else working out just so on our end. Rather, life, in order for it to be really alive, must be given up for the sake of others, in service to others. That's the gospel way. The seed must be buried in order to bear fruit. And so we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow Jesus. Turning our life upside down and inside out and backwards, all for the sake of following this Jesus who arose and whose life gives us life. And we wonder, will it be worth it? Today, this Easter April Fool's Sunday, we hear it again. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It is worth it. Jesus is your life. Live with abandon for his sake. Let's pray together. Father, in the midst of our daily routines and in the midst of the mundane things of our lives, there are so many times when we just wish that things could be different, that somehow they could be more exciting, that somehow they shouldn't have to be this ordinary, that somehow it shouldn't have to be filled with trouble, that it shouldn't have to be filled with worry, that God, somehow we want it to work out better. By the power of your Holy Spirit, convince us that you've made it all better. That you've made it all turn out like a fairy tale even. God, that you played the greatest joke on death itself when you raised Jesus from the dead. And so convince us that even our own lives can be buried. And like a seed, they can rise to bear fruit. Fruit that will bless others. Fruit that will show off your kingdom. Fruit that can bring glory to you. Convince us of that, Father. Strengthen our faith. Encourage us in love. Renew us by your Spirit so that we'll have the courage and the strength to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.